Councillor Haskam.
Recording in progress.
Councillor Morley Haskam.
Councillor John Carmichael.
Mary Smith.
Councillor Ancinelli.
Councillor Mike Hackman.
CAO Lat Shirk.
Treasurer Ocean Pantia.
Mayor Peter Hawkins. And we see there's some people here on the sitting in. Ron, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two words.
He's gone. All right. Don Snade is here. Yeah. Oh, good. Thanks, Don. Okay. So, is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest, general nature thereof? Hearing none. So we have a roll call of we don't know who's here on the Zoom meeting, so that's good. Just that all comments just put your hand up. We'll go through the chair, and you just state who you are, so we have that for a record when we get there. Okay. So we have a resolution dealing with the minutes of the April 13th meeting. So, resolution 2116, that the Committee of Adjustment is hereby accept the minutes of the April 13th, 2021 meeting as circulated. We have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Cancinelli and Councillor Carmichael. Any discussion? You want a chance to go over them for a bit?
No, yes.
Okay. Hearing nothing, call a question, all in favor. Sure, thank you. Okay, so we have a minor variance application from Mr. Thompson. Just ask the clerk if everything was circulated to everybody.
It was, yes.
And did we receive any correspondence?
We received correspondence from Mr. Davidson.
From Mr. Davidson, okay. I'm going to ask, is John Jackson here?
I do not have
him. No, is that Jack?
So we'll just, you've read the report anyway, so we'll ask Mr. Thompson to, if he wants to speak on behalf of the application.
It's okay, we can go through. Well, we can, or I can speak to the feeling.
Hmm?
I can speak to it.
Do you want to speak to it from the planning point of view? Okay.
The application is for a garage, and it's a fairly small lot, and as indicated in the planning report, the location of the garage is constrained by the septic tile field. We have looked at moving the garage, tightening up the garage to the septic tile field. The challenge with that is it's variable. When you put a tile field in, it could be within 2 or 3 feet. And that's basically all we're talking about here is we could move the garage a foot closer to the tile field to give us 3 feet as opposed to 2 feet side yard. But it is a very tight site, and in order to make sure that the building fits, it does fall within the parameters of the minor variance if it does fit with the intent of the zoning bylaw and whatnot. So the recommendation at this point in time is to grant the minor variance. The neighbors have had an opportunity to comment on this. The comments from the neighbors were that as long as this was not a steel building, they were okay with that. We have talked about the ability to move lawnmowers and things like that between potentially a fence and the building. You've got a little over 2 feet to do that. It's very rocky where this particular garage is going to go. You're not going to be putting anything between a proposed fence at some time in the future and the building itself. So.
Okay. John isn't here yet.
No.
Okay. All right. Mr. Thompson, would you like to speak to it? See it?
I don't have
a phone. No? Okay. That's fine. He has the right not to, so you can do it. Any comments or questions from council? Start with Michael and then Councilor Kekkonen and then Councilor Cummings.
I think, you know, regarding the correspondence that's received, one of the concerns was that adequate information was not provided in a timely manner to the public to have an opportunity to review the this application, which is always a concern, considering that, you know, that's one of our expectations, is to ensure that the public has an opportunity to provide their feedback and input.
How much time was good?
Yeah, when was it on?
The original notice had gone out, I believe,
on the 27th.
27th to the
27th.
Okay. May 27th?
Yeah.
And that information that was provided in the notice was 2 pages and with not very much relevant information or details on it. And I think that's reflected in the correspondence received here. And then the information that was provided at a later point in time was not found with the original notice. So it was very difficult for anyone to even, and that information I do not believe was, that was provided on to council on the Friday, but I don't believe that was provided, when was that provided to the public, the subsequent information, the planning report?
I have to back and look and see when we received the planning report from Mr. Jackson.
Okay, Mr. Carmichael.
So the neighbors had been questioned earlier as per that, right?
Yes.
And the question I was going to ask, the most immediate neighbor, there's nothing pictured here, but in terms of any distance from their buildings to this property line? We don't know that.
No, right? I don't know that. No, I did not. On this particular one, I didn't do the site visit.
Yeah, no, that's no problem. And like I say, they didn't complain.
No.
And as you say, as long as you so there wasn't they had the opportunity. The point is, they had the opportunity to register
yes.
Yay or nay, and they didn't.
No.
Okay. Inappropriate, as you say, appropriate in terms of the planning requirements.
It is appropriate in terms of the planning requirements. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And that's our requirement is the minimum of the neighbors that are immediately affected by. This kind of thing.
Usually, if there was a concern, they'd raise it. I would raise it.
Yeah. So, as long as that was done, we've basically done our due diligence.
With notification, is there a specific amount of time that we are supposed to give? I know there's an area that we have to do, but is it 2 weeks,
1 week,
10 days,
2 weeks,
a month?
Usually 2 weeks. 2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks,
so 14 days.
Five with that.
It was close.
Okay. I'm just covering. So,
yeah.
Okay. And we had nobody complaining who received the notice of that.
No.
So that's all I'm saying. And the planner has agreed with the guards. Okay.
And it was May 28th we got the notice? Yes.
Mr. Chair, you're blacking out with all due respect. I'm not even sure what article you're on. I lost you for 20 seconds 3 times there. Can you just clarify what article you're discussing here?
We are dealing with the minor variance application. It's on the 6 o'clock agenda. We're not in the main agenda yet.
Kenneth Thompson.
Or Ken Thompson.
Thank you.
That won't do it there, Don. It's just not picking up.
So, what's your wish?
Councilor?
So, just to review, so the notice that was sent out May 28th, was that the 2-page notice that was very limited information, and that notice was sent out to the adjacent landowners within a certain distance. Yes. Of, and so that was the two-page notice?
That's the original notice.
That's the notice there.
Yeah.
So that is what they received?
Yes.
So how would they know what actually was transpiring? Because the planning report is a little more detailed with information compared to that original notice that was sent out.
Yeah, and in the original notice it says, if you wish to attend the public hearing, please contact the township. And typically when somebody has a concern about a planning application that's happening within their neighborhood, they will contact the municipal office or they will contact the planning board.
We've received that.
No. They also have the opportunity to provide us with written submissions outlining their concerns. We've received no written submissions from immediate neighbors.
So we're within guidelines then?
Yes.
Okay, any other comments? So, are you ready to go forward? Okay, so we have a resolution 21-17 that the Committee of Adjustment does hereby grant the minor variance application A05-2021 Thompson. We have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Haskin, seconder. Councillor Carmichael, is there any discussion?
The okay.
Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried.
One abstain.
One abstain. Okay. Okay, we have one other matter. We had a late correspondence from Mr. Sneed regarding what's going forward to the planning board. So before Don, we give Don an opportunity to speak, I'd like Lance to go over the process so it's understood what follows and what can follow up. So I'm going to have Lance go over that with you so you follow that, and then if you have any other concerns, then we can deal with them. Okay?
Sure. The this matter, with respect to the right-of-way, is scheduled to be heard by the Perry Sound Planning Board on June 28th. There is a report in the council package under planning matters for this evening, and the resolution is basically to ask council if they're prepared to see this matter go before the planning, Perry Sound Planning Board, and if you have any concerns, to identify what those concerns may be this evening. Mr. Sneed has requested an opportunity to speak to council about some of the concerns that Mr. Sneed and the ratepayers along Fire Route 160 have with respect to this matter going to the planning board. The planning board will send a notification likely 2 weeks in advance of the hearing on June 28th. And at that point in time, residents along Fire Route 160 should be notified of this matter coming before the planning board. And they'll have an opportunity to be heard at that time as well. I thought it prudent that we allow Mr. Sneed some time this evening to speak directly to council about some of the concerns that the residents along Fire Route 160 may have.
Thank you, Lance. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Yes, thanks.
I spoke this afternoon and requested to be heard here only because I never did hear that this meeting was going on tonight or that you were going to receive a package, and therefore I didn't know how that involved us or what details were to be given to us. It's clear to me that we were not given notice. However, we also have never been contacted by anyone at the planning board or any further contact regarding the process that is going to go on and what input we would have. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that they're asking council if they have any, if they're going to approve it and if they have any objections to it. And of course, when we reviewed it with our council early this morning, once we found out that this was going on, as well as some advice from a planner, we came up with the fact that just in my own property, that we had quite a number of questions that we thought council should be aware of before they go ahead and commence the activity with the planning board. I spoke to Mr. Shirk about it today, and thank you for granting me the opportunity to speak. Many of the points we have, first of all, should we have not been consulted on this all the way along so that we knew what we were dealing with? Secondly, why weren't we informed about the June 28th meeting? I found out from a third party that this was a plan and that we had been granted this, and finally it looked like we were moving forward. However, we don't know what the process is or what questions we get to ask, and we would like to have had council be aware of our questions prior to considering going forward with the planning board. That input includes many questions. Some of the more important ones are that we have no information on this. The issue, I sent each of you an email today, and I assume that you all received it, involved things that were legalities. The plan that we had was old, and it did not appear to match up to the existing right-of-way. Some of the areas were not going to be staked so that we couldn't visually see if the road that we are now using, even though it's not registered, is on the location shown on that diagram. Or secondly, it appears that it does not match up with where it rejoins our right-of-way to proceed through to each of our properties. That was one of the major concerns. And we don't know if a new survey has been done or will be done for this. So certainly that is very important that we get an answer to that question. The issue of registering the new location has many questions. One would be the liability issue on the right-of-way, the use by the golf course of that same right-of-way, the cost of maintaining that right-of-way and the snow removal on that right-of-way in the wintertime, whether or not emergency vehicles, primarily fire, can get into our properties, and whether this would then be registered on title first. We also wondered if any of the people, and it appears when we did the search that there are four registrations on the property for well over $3 million that have now been registered, and the proponent that first came forward with all of this, Mr. Brisbane, is one of those. He appears to be suing either the numbered company or Mr. Valentine for lack of payment as well. Those people, according to Mr. Brisbane, were willing to postpone to our position, and we need clarification whether that can happen. With that said, is there a representative, either Mr. Valentine himself or a representative from him that we can direct questions at? Because we have many, and these have to be answered, and I don't know who we would address those to. The width of the right-of-way would be one of them. At one point, it shows 5 meters. It's 7 meters all the way through. In some places, it appears to narrow, but there's no measurements on it. The location is not exactly defined without stakes in the ground, and, of course, the property stake with the ring on it, so we can see that it does give us 7 meters all the way through. Use and purpose needs to be discussed. We're not sure who the users can be. Can anyone park on the right-of-way? We want unfettered access. And often when there's a tournament or a wedding at the golf course, are they aware that they have to keep that open so that we can come through? Some of us have had to wait there for 15 or 20 minutes just to get through the blockage. Maintenance and repair is certainly a big issue. They chose to pave their portion of the right-of-way, and it is now full of potholes where you bounce through it. The pavement is only about 10 feet wide, and of course nobody wants to drive on the grass, but it's impossible to not do that when you're towing something or bringing a float in with a tractor or a bulldozer or even a concrete truck coming in. The location is ambiguous based on what we know, so I guess essentially this and probably 25 other questions, and I won't go through them all tonight. They're in the note that I sent to you, Lance, as well as to the counselors and the people on our road. What we would like to know is when is somebody going to talk to us about what we will get, what should we expect, some sort of timeline? Will these people postpone to us? I think that's the primary issue. And, of course, we're delighted it's moving forward, and we're anxious to have a location, but it has to be done on terms that cover all of our rights and needs, and reminding everyone that we all have properties worth a lot of money, and right now we have no legal access. Our old right-of-way was removed, the new one installed, but it was never put in, and of course, on the statement of a planner, and I don't know where this came from, one of the people on the road asked his legal fees to be paid in the amount of $300 to $3,500. There was a restricted zoning put on it, and that was not to be removed until they satisfied the transfer of the right-of-way. And within a couple of years, somehow it got lifted, and they proceeded, even though it was there to protect us and our rights on the right-of-way. Those rights were also spelled out in the old bylaw, and that, too, is now in jeopardy. So we would like to have a meeting and see what is happening with input from council, but also from the planning board. I called them yesterday, and they referred me to the planning board and gave me a number and said you would have to speak to Mr. Jackson. Well, Mr. Jackson was one of the problems that we've had over all of the years, and I suggest by him representing council, as well as the Perry Sound Planning Board, and also having been in conflict over the last 15 years on this issue, that he should declare a conflict of interest on this. Someone who is neutral should be dealing with. I did not call the number because I didn't think it was appropriate to speak to him on these matters when he'd already publicly challenged us on it in past meetings. So I guess the bottom line is we do not want to see this go forward without all of our questions being put to council, and council with transparency giving us answers to these and then recommending to the planning board that this can go forward. And I guess we will have the opportunity then at that planning meeting to do the same, to ask all of these questions. I called our counsel, Mr. Douglas, and only reached him this morning, and due to other commitments he'd made today, on one day's notice, neither I could do anything nor could he do much to be helpful. He did outline the fact that we should ask for these things and see if we can get some explanation on how will we be contacted and when will we be brought into the loop in this process, and how much time. Right now we only have for the 28th to prepare with both legal, and then have they contacted every owner on the road? I'm told that nobody's heard from these people, including myself. So it seems like we're going blind here on this. We don't know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and what we should be preparing. And we hadn't remet with our council because we thought we didn't know when this was going to go forward. So could you maybe address some of those issues for me tonight? And I know there's other parties on our Fire Route 160 in attendance, so we would appreciate some insight as to when this is going to start shaping up to be a more open process.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? It's coming up in the main agenda, so we can address some of those issues.
We can.
Going forward.
Amend the resolution to...
Okay, Peter, I have comments. The email that I sent through today had a number of questions specifically, but there is another 25 that we would like to submit. I just didn't want to overburden everybody with this on the night of the meeting. We simply want to know how they're going to get dealt with.
Yeah, that's fine.
And in the main meeting, will we be privy to listening to those questions and answers?
Well, I hope you're going to be at the planning board.
Tonight. You said that the main meeting. Are you speaking of this evening?
Yes. It's on the agenda, okay. The main agenda. So with that, for this thing to go to the planning board with any conditions that we might have. So that's what we're going to discuss in the next section. So basically, you'll be deferring to your comments, your questions, et cetera, from the Fire Route 160 group. So will you
examine each of those tonight? And when will you look at the other questions? And when will we get audience to attend and hear some of these answers from the planning board?
I don't know when the planning board is going to do it, but they should be doing it well in advance. I think there are certain protocols that they have to follow. And at the same time, we will be making some comments, decisions, recommendations going forward with the moving forward of the Fire Route 160 with dealing with your particular issues and our issues.
So if you send this forward tonight, will you put it as a condition that we agree in principle, but we need clarification before you'll go ahead and endorse the whole thing?
I can't answer that now until we get to the main agenda. So it's not on the table right now. We're just allowing you to speak.
So through you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Snead. We're currently in committee of the committee of adjustment. We will be coming out of committee of adjustment and going into the main council meeting. In the main council meeting, this matter will come up again under Section 9, I believe. And the council will have an opportunity at that point in time to discuss the resolution that they would like to send forward to the planning board. Planning board should be in touch with residents along Fire Route 160 2 weeks prior to June 28th, so that everyone should receive notification that this matter is before the planning board. And at that point in time, your council and your planner will have an opportunity to present your position to the planning board for consideration.
So should we plan to meet with someone from the township, yourself and probably whoever is the planner of record at that time, and put all of these things in front of you so you can go forward with accurate data on what we want to know and when it's all of the questions we have?
If you have additional information that you'd like council and the township to be aware of prior to the June 28th planning board meeting, it would be prudent to make sure that that township administration has that information, because the planner of record for the township typically is John Jackson.
Does this council have any issue with the conflict of interest that I stated? I mean, this seems I get directed to call him when I have questions that are directly presented by him, and that caused a lot of this confusion in the first place. I hear considerable concern over this conflict of interest, that he just represents too many different parties in this debate, even when it goes down. We should have concern, and we do have concern, that there will be some prejudice when we challenge him on this stuff, when he will be one of the voters at the planning board, as well as he's in constant communication with both council, and we've heard nothing from him, not a single word, not a single correspondence to any of us. And when can we expect this to begin? I mean, 2 weeks in a pandemic shutdown to try and prepare and get lawyers in a hot real estate market, I've been told that it's next to impossible. My lawyer has advised me of that. I've booked him for the 28th, but between now and then, I think we have to know a little bit more, not just 2 weeks before the meeting. Can that not happen sooner?
I'm not familiar enough with the planning board and how the planning board functions here in Westbury Sound. You do have the option to ask to have this deferred to a later date.
So we've done that. Yeah.
And if you feel that the timeline is too tight, then you can have your counsel or your planner submit a request to defer this matter to a date more to your choosing.
Okay.
So that's just to clarify, Don, we're into a committee of adjustment. We're finishing that. We added you in because we thought it was important. We're going to now adjourn the committee of adjustment. We're going to come back to the issue in the main council meeting. At that point in time, we'll figure out what's the best strategy going forward.
Okay. Right. Well, can I be involved and comment in that process?
Well, you have been.
Well, no, it's not going forward. I think a lot of these things are going to unfold in your regular meeting. I'll hear them, but I need to be able to, if nothing else, give some guidance on them. And I haven't presented you with all of the questions, so I just want to be sure that you have a clear understanding. We know nothing about what's going on, and we need to be brought into the loop quickly.
Well, that would be more than just of what we would be recommending to the planning board, would be to maybe ask for a deferment until everything is clarified, those types of things of what we can do. Okay, so we're not going to resolve everything between now and the 28th. Okay, so what we're going to probably do is come up with a resolution on this action that's going to help your group and everybody to move it forward.
And all right, well, I don't know.
Whatever that will be.
One more question, and that is, other than Mr. Shirk, who, by the way, has been most helpful in this process in the last few weeks, everyone at the table now understands what's at stake. Commitments were made that involved the official plan as well as the bylaw. And I just want to be sure, and I'd like to hear from the other councillors, that this will get some more transparency that it's had, and that we will have an opportunity to discuss these questions, and that council will go forward to the planning board with a recommendation that addresses many of the questions in this portfolio I have here in front of me. And there's over 30 questions. So.
Okay, thank you.
I haven't even heard, as our other Grove residents have not been aware of any of this yet. They haven't been contacted individually by anyone. And it's not my job to contact them. I think it's the planning board and council. So I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a comment from some of the other councillors on this because they know the situation, and then I'll just sit and I'll rejoin you when you get into the regular meeting.
Well, I think we're going to have those comments when we get into the main agenda. So right now, this was just an opportunity for you to speak, so we can come. Now we're going to come out of the committee of adjustment and go into our normal agenda, of which people will have an opportunity to make their recommendations on.
Well, Mr. Chairman, will you allow me to speak during that regular meeting?
If council wishes, yes.
And you only get 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes maximum, yeah. Okay, we're going to go into an adjournment now. Come out of one meeting and go into another one.
6:33.
Yep, we're over time. So the committee of adjustment does now adjourn. Need a mover and a seconder, please. Councilor Cumberland, Councilor Sinon. Any discussion? Call the question on favor. Gary? Okay. We're going to call this meeting to order. And we would like to begin by acknowledging the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Doing a roll call, we'll start with our CAO.
CAO Clerk Matt Shirk.
Treasurer Roshan Pant here.
Councilor Mike Beckinet.
Councilor Encinales.
Oh, all right.
Greg Dawson.
Mary Smith.
Councilor Don Carmichael.
Councilor Morley Haskell.
Mayor Peter Hopkins. Thanks, everybody. So, any declarations of conflict of interest? Hearing none? So, we're not going to be doing 5.1 at this point in time, right? No, that's off. There's a couple of additions to the agenda. Oh, is Katja here?
Yep.
Hi, Katja.
Hi, I am here.
Okay, we have pulled off the debtor talk application off the agenda at this point in time, so it won't be discussed tonight.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we have two additions to the agenda. One is 12.2. Is that the approval?
Yep.
Okay. The one is dealing with, we were supposed to have it, we just missed it, a resolution to end the state of emergency July 1st. We started with a resolution to begin it, we need a resolution to end it. So that's coming up in 12.2.
13.4, sorry.
So then that's first thing. What have I got?
You're reading them different than I am.
Oh, I am. I am definitely, got them absolutely wrong. Absolutely backwards. Yeah, 13.4. 12.2. Okay. So, yeah, 13.4. And then the fire safety situation will be 12.2. And the draft minutes from the Lake Stewardship Committee are 10.3. They were just added in. So, just omitted with all the printing. So, I just need the resolution. Resolution 21213, be resolved that the Council of Township of McKellar does hereby approve the agenda for this meeting as amended, adding the following items: Lake Stewart, 10.3, Lake Stewardship Environmental Ad Hoc Committee draft minutes of April 17th, 2021. 12.2, the letter from the Ministry of Community Safety and Correctional Services, the fire safety grant, and 13.4, the termination of the municipal emergency declared March 27th, 2020. I think those should be the approved minutes. Those were approved.
Okay.
Approved by our committee.
But so they're still drafted here.
They're drafted here.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So just change it again. Okay, so need a mover to second. Councillor Hanson, seconder. Councillor Haskin. Is there any discussion? Call a question, all in favor? Sure, thank you. Okay, so we have our first be it resolved that the Council of Township McKellar does hereby approve the agenda for this meeting as presented. Mover and second. Councillor Carmichael? Ancinelli? Any discussion? Call a question, all in favor? Carried. Yeah. So welcome, David Bidewater from GDB. And he's going to give us an update on the Lakeland EV charger station. So, David, I'll turn it over to you. You've got 10 minutes to bring us up to date.
All right, thank you. I will. Can I share my screen with you? Share. If you can make me somebody who can share a screen, that'd be great.
Okay.
It's in these settings, isn't it? But you allow somebody to share them.
Yeah, I don't have permission to share just yet. Good evening. Thanks for inviting me here to give you an update. So my name is David Bywater. I'm the Conservation Program Manager at the Gordon Green Biosphere. And I'm also the Project Manager for ICECAP, which is a regional collaborative partnership. And GBB is coordinating that program. So the objective of my presentation is just to give you some context to your motion to partner with Lakeland's EV charging network. So I'm going to give you a quick outline of the presentation, go over ICECAP, an overview of the Partners for Climate Protection, your Milestone 1 results, climate action plans, and then some information on electric vehicles and charging infrastructure. So ICECAP is a regional partnership between the Jordan Bay Biosphere, First Nations, municipalities, community partners, energy organizations, and other interested parties. The goal is a collaborative, more cost-effective approach to energy management and reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. We currently have 6 councils as official signatories, and more are interested. All area councils have been invited to participate. And as you can see there, we have a number of community partners as well that are really important to this program. Lake Grant Holdings is one of them. As a reminder, the Federation of Canadian Municipalities Partners for Climate Protection Program has 5 milestones. McKellar has so far completed first two very first important steps, as you can see there, the check marks, and we are currently working on milestones 2 and 3. So last year for milestone 1, we networked with a lot of different community partners, we collected a lot of data, and we were able to do a corporate and a community baseline emissions inventory. So just a reminder, when we say corporate, that's PCP language for municipal. So some key results from that, as you can see, that this slide here presents corporate emissions by sector. And an important takeaway, especially in the context of tonight's presentation, is that the fleet represents 73% of greenhouse gas emissions. From the community side, transportation sector accounts for 7% is the darker blue there, and 32%. The final step of milestone 1 is the business as usual forecast. If no action were taken, emissions are forecasted to increase by 11% by 2030. This year, we are currently working on climate action plans that will help us set reduction targets. Township of McKellar has officially completed milestone 1, and we're very pleased with our success to date. And typically, to give you a point of reference, it takes a municipality about 10 years to work their way through milestones 1, 2, 5. As mentioned earlier, we're currently working on milestones 2 and 3 this year. So milestone 2 is to set greenhouse gas emission reduction targets, and milestone 3 is to develop a local action plan, both involving corporate and community. As we saw before, transportation is a key component of these climate action plans, because when we look at existing emissions, we know that 73% come from corporate for transportation and 75% from community. So EVs and hybrids are an important part of climate action plans. We have a lot of good existing resources we can draw on from Seven Sound Environmental Association, Sudbury, Sault Ste. Marie, Wawa, and many more. A good indicator here is also a plug-in drive report that shows you that an EV driver in Ontario can reduce their vehicle's emissions by 65% to 95%. That just helps to reinforce that EVs are a key part of climate action plans for both corporate and community. Electrification refers to the process of reducing our dependence on fossil fuels. From Ontario power generation, electrification increases demand in the long term, helping lower the price of electricity. Because electric vehicles are dramatically more efficient, electrification will result in enormous energy conservation benefits. Another key point is that battery costs of EV are falling. So the total cost of ownership is at parity expected around the 2030s. Some other key factors from the OPG report is with regards to EV forecasts. So we're building the infrastructure now because we know that there's going to be an increasing number of EVs on the road. So, for example, growth is around 32% a year in the near term, and EVs are reaching 71% of new sales and 52% of total vehicle stock by 2050. Another interesting metric is that Canada's target to phase out new internal combustion engine, also known as ICE, sales is by 2040. So GBB is sharing ZBIP opportunities with ICECAP members, and Lakeland is the latest opportunity. Lakeland is working on a federal proposal to NRCan for the ZBIP grant. So that's a zero emissions vehicle infrastructure program. The main objective of this ZVIP is to reduce barriers to EV adoption by increasing EV charging infrastructure. Lakeland's proposal is a regional network with many partners throughout Paris Town and Muskoka, and ISCAP members and partners are encouraged to participate. And that is it. Thank you for your time. Happy to take any questions.
Thanks, David. Any questions from members of council or public works? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a mention of 73% of the township emissions is from the township fleet. So what is the... So you're promoting, there's a resolution on the table later regarding partnership with Lakeland Holdings for an electrical vehicle charging station. So how does that fit in with our fleet at this point in time? And the other thing is, the process of manufacturing these EV stations consumes resources. Mining activities and other manufacturing, and you know, is there? I want to see the stats to show that the installation of one of these EV stations. I think in the proposal here says one at the community center. That there's going to be a net benefit. You know, if that unit is only used by what is the stats? The need study showing that there's going to be a need for that charging station here at the community center, where you would expect that the individuals who do have electrical vehicles have charging stations here in McKellar at their residence. And there's also the EVY, or EVY, that Ontario Hydro network that they have out there that... If you go on the website, you can find that they have charging stations throughout Ontario, the maximum 100 kilometers apart. So what is the net gain, and what is going to be the cost to McKellar Township for one of these charging stations, and the net gain of one of these in regards to greenhouse gas emissions based on a need study? Are we going to see some data regarding that?
When you say need study, what exactly are you referring to?
We have
are you talking about greenhouse gas emissions or other factors as well?
So a need study would be real numbers indicating how many people would be using that electric charging station out here outside the community center.
Right. Well, specific results by township, I'm not aware of that at the moment. Just to clarify again, I'm with the Gordon Bay Biosphere and project manager at ISCAP. We're encouraging ISCAP members to participate in different EV charging proposals. Lakeland is just one of the latest. So if you're interested in specifics on that Lakeland network, I would recommend that you get in touch with Jen at Lakeland. With regards to your question about fleet, in the short term, we're definitely going to be recommending in climate action plans that municipal vehicles are replaced with EVs, because that technology is available right now. And this charging infrastructure will support the municipal fleet being able to charge for use locally. And in the near term, we know that, you know, the Ford 150, I'm sure we all saw that on the news, that's out and on the market. So trucks in the near term, and hopefully in the longer term, we'll be replacing other parts of the fleet with larger EV vehicles. But that's currently unknown, but that's in what is envisioned. By the research that I've seen, and yeah, community members, you're right. I mean, most EV owners are charging at home. This is going to be of value for municipal staff, municipal fleet. Some community members, if they're in need for the charge in town, it will also be a stop for visitors who might be traveling from North Bay down to Paris Sound, want to quickly stop in and get a charge. As an EV owner myself, I do know that when I charge, I have a tendency to kind of walk around the shop. So I was trying to find some studies that indicate those kind of metrics, and unfortunately couldn't find them, but that's often talked about when you're talking about putting in a charging station as well.
Other questions?
Councillor Kekkonen.
And so what is the cost to the township looking through the Lakeland proposal, six-page background information indicates that there is requirements for the location. Is the township responsible for the bollards installed, the electrical supply, liability, and maintaining public works, maintaining the area for summer, winter slips, strips, falls, any hazards. So what is the expectations of a municipality that's signing on with, like, you know, what I'm saying is that this proposal is very limited in information, and if there's going to be a lease, and there's a lease agreement for the land of the charging station, I think the municipality would need a lot more information, and will that information be supplied to the township?
That's the question. Again, I can't answer all of your questions because I am not representative of Lakeland staff. I'm just here providing a greater context to ISCAP and the climate action plans. My understanding is that this is an intent to participate. If they were successful with funding, all of those details would obviously be figured out. I do also know they're doing site visits and figuring out a lot of information ahead of time. And I would refer some of those questions that you've had to Lakeland, and perhaps some of the staff who've had discussions with Lakeland.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yes, Don?
Well, this proposal is very similar to the previous one, with the advantage is there is no financial contribution by the township. But again, it's the same issue. It goes to NRCan. NRCan rejected the first application. They can do exactly the same thing with this application in terms of the charging network, which is really a tourism network, not individual, and it's not there for people like me that have a Tesla. It's there for people, and the key is catching them here, getting them an opportunity to spend money, which is what David just mentioned, right? The opportunity to buy a coffee or do some shopping while you're spending 20 minutes, half hour, 40 minutes charging and getting a stretch. So that's really the key to this, and it is the wave of the future, so let's catch the wave.
Yes, Councillor Anselmo.
I have a question for you. If we put these EV stations on, can we get a sign in, on the 400? Because we need a gas station. That's considered a gas station. I know there's three things we have to basically come up with. So we have an ID, we can actually put a sign that we wanted after all at the 400 saying, hey, come to McKellar.
Right. That's right.
Because that's considered basically a gas station, right? So we're going to look which way we want to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not aware of that. I would say most EV owners are using apps to find charging locations.
Right, I know, but there's certain things that you can put down. We need three things. I forget what they are. We need food, gas, or we need some kind of gas station, and something else.
Right.
I forget what it was.
Yeah, it's the Ministry of Transportation.
Yeah.
It's about getting a sign on the 400.
I think a sign on the 400 or on 124. So
right.
The color exists.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that David's concern is that he is responsible for trying to deal with the reduction for climate change. This is one example of things that we need to look at. It's not going to happen overnight, and we need to hear from Lakeland Holdings. There's no question. We've got to get more detail and stuff like that. So, yes.
Through you, Mr. Chair. Tourism is the key economic driver for McKellar and for Westbury Sound District. In addition to that, this is a basic piece of infrastructure that we're going to require in 5 years. And in 5 years, I doubt very much that there's going to be grant applications that we can apply for at that point in time.
Right.
We're going to be on the hook to pay for those things at that point in time. There will be enough EVs on the road at that point that the government is going to say, we offered this infrastructure 5 years ago. You chose not to. It's on your dime now, not ours. So I think it's prudent that we have a resolution that we can at least show the funding agency that we're in favor of this. That's all this is doing. It's just like any other grant application that we would submit. Council has to be behind this in order for us to be able to move our grant application forward. So with respect to Lakeland, I will be speaking with Jennifer Monti about these things as this application is built out and prior to submission, so that we know exactly what our expectation is from the Township of McKellar's administration perspective and what we have to be responsible for. There will obviously be some in-kind requirements of any host for this type of infrastructure. And some of those things will obviously be, you know, we accept the liability of having visitors to our site, or whatever that chosen site is, and things like that. So, again, this is just the preliminary. Council is in favor of Lakeland and GBB submitting this application on behalf of McKellar Township.
Okay. Any further questions?
And just to clarify, the deadline is the 21st or 22nd, correct?
Yes, correct.
So we have a few weeks to get the details worked out.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the real details worked out once you get yes to the grant.
That's right.
The other thing we'd say in the future, we probably will put a charging station over at the Rhodes Garage. If in fact when Greg has his equipment, so that they're not parking necessarily at public charging stations, which is what other municipalities have done. They have a combination of public accessibility and sort of internal accessibility or sharing some extent. Sometimes they even share them on the Rhodes Garage. So that's there's options for that.
Anyway, it's a futuristic situation. We've got to take a look at whether it's realistic and whether it's a benefit. We think it is, but we need more facts and more information. So,
and it'll be discussed further when the resolution comes to the table.
Absolutely. Again, this preliminary stuff just to see if we're going to move the topic forward. So anyway, David, on behalf of council, thank you very, very much for your presentation, keeping us abreast of all of these things. And we're moving forward, so thank you very much. Resolution 21-215. Be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar has hereby received a deputation from David Bywater of the Georgian Bay Biosphere. I have to take reserve of the call regarding the Lakeland EV charging network project for information. Okay, move her in a second, please. Councilor Sinelli, second. Councilor Carmichael. Any discussion? Call a question on favor. Carried, thank you. So, resolution 21-216, be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of the May 11th, 2021 regular meeting of council. Move in a second, please. Councillor Haskin, Councillor Carmichael, is there any discussion? Hearing none, call the question on favor. Carried.
One was the Ridge Railway, and the second was the first one was the Smith. That's the deal with the rolling extension and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Off Weeds. Right? Mm-hmm. You know,
nope. We don't. I got that on top. Is that fire?
It's not in the agenda, right? You said Smith?
That's the consent application number 931. Which is that one?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one we're trying to, he's trying to find. The second one deals with the Ridge Railway stuff, so we're just trying to get this one done.
All right.
We'll move on to the next one. I don't want to look.
Well, the next one's going to be Smith.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to deal with Resolution 21-217. That the Council of Township of Ecuador have no objection to the right-of-way as applied for by the Ridge of Manitou in application P23-2021 McKellar. That's what we need. So we need a mover and a seconder and decide what we're going to do.
Okay, just get on
the table. So, yeah, get on the table, yeah. Councilor Carmichael, Councilor Haskin. So at this point in time, it's comments from council how you want to proceed with this in light of Don's comments. That obviously there's concerns and that are legitimate. So we need to come up with a way of how to do this to go to the planning board. So what's the best way to do that? Don?
Yeah. Well, as thank you, Mr. Mayor. As Don Steeves said, it's a very difficult time to get legal attention within a 2-week time frame. So the only real option is to have this deferred so there's sufficient time for counsel on both sides to get the matters. If there are 35 questions or whatever the nature of the need, that's going to take more than a couple of weeks to get clarified. And given how long we've been waiting, an extra month is prudent in terms of getting those answers so that Don's group can be comfortable and object to once they actually have information rather than no information on 35 questions.
So that would be one of our recommendations, was we could defer it, okay, until the parties met and answered questions. So the parties are the Fire Route 160 group and the planning board?
Correct. So that it would not
council.
Right.
I'm just trying to get it clarified here. Right. Everybody's on the same wavelength. Councillor Heston?
Yeah, I agree with Councillor Carmichael that we defer it for until our staff can deal with the applicants and the concerns that Don Sneed has brought forward. And I see no harm in deferring it for another month, and the council in their resolution can make a recommendation to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board for their June 28th meeting to defer it for another month to give time for Lance and Don to work through a lot of it, probably a lot, rather than burden it with the lawyers in the future. I imagine a lot of these 30-some questions can be answered quite easily. It'll be the odd little crunch subject that'll come up that hopefully we can work through and get this. The main goal is to get it done. It's been sitting on the table for so too long. So I think if all parties realize that we want to get this done, and I think the township, it's been sitting on their table for a couple of years now, knowing that it's been an issue. So hopefully it'll reflect in our motion that we're going to pass that we will defer to give some more time.
Okay. So specifically, we're going to defer it, but who's going to meet to deal with the questions that go to the planning board? So we've got the Fire Route 160 group, our CAO, and anybody else? We're supposed to meet first and then... And their group is taking it to the planning board.
Yeah.
With our blessing going
on. Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, I'm just trying to clarify the process, Don, so hold on.
Thank you.
Chris. I think if Mr. Sneed has, because he's heard what's being said here, and if there's something that going to help with, you know, this process. I think we'll give him an opportunity
I just wanted to haven't heard from council yet. So is to the defer sounds like a reasonable thing, and just how we do it properly, that's the critical issue. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Sneed.
Thank you, Mayor. I think it isn't necessarily something that we want to defer unnecessarily. I think if the Perry Sound Planning Board, and perhaps Mr. Shirk is already, as I said, more informational than anyone before, would just give us the opportunity to sit down for even an hour or two, address the questions, we may be able to make the deadline. It is not in our best interest of anyone to defer unnecessarily. And I think if we were to get after this in an organized fashion, with council, a representative of council rather, a representative from the planning board, and members of our group, one or two, and perhaps our legal counsel or our planner to attend as well, we could move this thing along very quickly. So a deferral, I appreciate your support and allowing us more time, but if we don't have to defer, we would prefer not to. We would like to accomplish the deed. It's only been held up by lack of activity and lack of communication. I think we can move this along. What has taken 6 months to be done in a couple of weeks if we are given the opportunity to meet and address the issues. The other thing I think is really important for us to understand that whoever the representative is for the Perry Sound Planning Board, I think it should be a fresh face at the table. And I think with the addition of Mr. Shirk, I think we accomplish this thing very quickly. Thank you.
Okay. Don? The other issue, Don, is if the survey is not complete, you can't get a new survey done in 2 weeks. So we really have to consider that this is not going to happen in 2 weeks, Don.
I agree with that, Don, but what I'm saying is if we could get the meeting held and all of these issues of what has to be deferred and why would come out, I'd be more comfortable. We haven't identified anything. Our group truly does not know one thing about this process with the planning board. They haven't heard our issues. They haven't heard our requirements. They've asked us to surrender our old right-of-way, which will definitely not happen unless we can replace it with one that is contemporary with today's rules, bylaws, provincial and municipal, as well as satisfy in perpetuity all of the things we've addressed. The big one, I think, is going to be we have not had one meeting or one consult from the owners of the property, and I would like to clarify that it is not the Ridge of Manitou. That is just a name. We're dealing with a number company owned by two individuals identified with the last name of Valentine. We will need those people to answer some questions as well. I think they need to be asked by the authoritative people, and that would be the planning board and possibly council. And we would like to put our questions in front of those people so they could ask them for us. I don't think it's for us to engage with those people on those specific questions. So, yes, I agree, and Don, thanks for your input. I think it may well have to be deferred, but I think we should attempt to identify what would cause it to be deferred and how long should we defer it for, because it needs to get done and out of the way. Already, as you know, we have the issue of the new bylaw and the new official plan, which is going to engage some of us in an LPAT hearing. I'd like to get this off that table, well, because it would clear part of that up. Removing those conditions in that old bylaw basically neutered our position that was originally given by that bylaw. So, and then we'd like to know why, of course, the protection zoning, temporary zoning got lifted as well. So there are many issues. To address this, let's have a meeting, get the three parties together, determine what needs to be done, establish a timeline, communicate and find out between Valentine or his representative, council, Perry Sound Planning Board, and our group, what needs to be done and how quickly we can accomplish it. And then let's get after it, get this out of the way. It's been on your table a long time, but believe me, it's been on our table equally long, if not longer. We want it resolved. We have no legal access right now to our property, and of course, timing is going to come in whether we establish our old right of way. put it back in place if we can't resolve this? And because it sounds now like we have support and cooperation from some of the parties, council, and I hope the Perry Sound Planning Board. But I think we need to meet with the right person from that group. I don't know who that is. I'm sure you do. And I want to eliminate this silly conflict of interest that's gone on. It should be declared. It's very awkward, I'm sure, for him as well as for us.
Okay, we have two options that we'd like to entertain. One deals with the Council of Township of Keller request the Perry Sound Planning Board to defer the application B23-2081 McKellar for 1 month to allow for concerns submitted to council by Mr. Steed. That's what we just finished talking about. The other one more is option B, is a result that the Council of Township McKellar does hereby request a member of the Perry Sound Planning Board meet with the township staff and representatives of Fire Route 160 residents to review the information going forward to the Planning Board for application B23-2081 McKellar. So this would be, rather than deferring it at the start, we would have a preliminary meeting within the next, as soon as possible, and then decide whether it's going to be deferred or not, because they can't do the survey, they can't, whatever, all those, answer those questions. So that's sort of the common sense approach is going forward, so.
All right, I'm in support of the second motion, and then I believe Don's right, may have to defer it in order to be pragmatic and say yes.
That seems to be a lot.
Let's get on with it. And, would it be Mr. Shirk that would attend?
Yes.
Sorry, I spoke up.
I've been voluntold.
Sorry, Lance.
No, that's okay. So, is there any issue with number 2 point?
No, it's
the option B. Is that the one that makes sense to everybody? It does to me.
Yeah,
it's worth a try.
And, sure. And I think it should be deferred just to make like you don't know, right, just in case we don't have the plans and stuff like that, right? So it might as well be.
Yeah, probably if necessary, Morley and I can deal with that at the planning board meeting.
Yes.
Correct, Morley?
Yes.
If in fact we don't have a motion from here, once you've met and you've determined, you can inform the planning board, but we can ask the planning board for approval as well, if necessary.
Yeah.
When's your next meeting?
It's always the fourth Monday. So it's the 28th. And the problem we have, as Lance has pointed out, they only require 2 weeks' notice. So that's why they haven't contacted anybody on February 160.
Right.
It's not 2 weeks away from the, it's not the 14th.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? So next week they'll be in contact, and then that's a really condensed time frame to deal with 35 questions.
Okay, so as a follow-up, I'm going to read it again. Being resolved that the Council of the Township of Keller does hereby request a member of the Perry Sound Planning Board meet with the Township staff and representatives of Fire Route 160 residents to review the information going forward to the Planning Board for application number B23-2021 McKellar. Is there any...
Right, and I'm available this week and next week, and I will make time. The only day I'm not available is Wednesday, because I'm on a course every Wednesday.
Okay, well, let's get it passed first. Mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Ancinelli, Councillor Carmichael. Is there any further discussion?
Can you just read it again?
Be it resolved that the Council of Township of Keller is hereby request a member of the Perry Sound Planning Board meet with the Township staff and representatives of Fire Route 160 residents to review the information going forward to the Planning Board for application number B23-2021 McKellar. So we have a mover and a seconder. Is there any further discussion? And it may mean that once that meeting is held, then the representatives, the planning board, or the clerk can send a note off to the planning board saying that we are deferring it until we get all these things satisfied. That's the understanding. Okay.
Yeah.
Any further questions?
I have one.
Okay.
You were expecting that, weren't you?
Not really. Go ahead.
Well, I would like the planning board people to contact me this week along with Mr. Shirk, and I will comply with their wishes in terms of when the meeting can be held, but it should be an executive position in the planning board, an authoritative voice at the table. And as I've already stated, and I want I hope that some of these issues will find their way into the minutes because it's important. And I will furnish immediately, I will get to work on all of the questions that need to be addressed from our side, if not most of them, because others will come up, I'm sure. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any further discussion? Call a question, all in favor? Carried. Thank you. Thanks, Doc.
Was there anyone, Mr. Mayor, was there anyone opposed there? I didn't see the vote.
Nope, no. Unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay. I have it. I have this one and this one. Well, it's the same. So no, that's one and that's two. So,
yeah. Well, that's all one by the number.
It's just listed as two things. So
yes.
No problem. No problem. Thank you, everybody, for that.
John Jackson.
John
Jackson's here.
John Jackson's here. So we can fill in when you get to talk things later. All right, so resolution 21-18. Be it resolved that the Council of Township and County hereby receive the April 17th, 2021 draft minutes of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Ad Hoc Committee. Have a mover and a seconder, please. Councilor Bremer. Seconder. Councilor Ancelo. Any discussion? Councilor Tekkenen.
There has been a lack of notice regarding the meetings taking place with the Environmental Stewardship Committee on the Township website. The minutes aren't posted and have not been since, I think it was August 2020.
Okay.
And notices have not been in place since I think it was July 2020. How is the public supposed to be aware that these meetings are taking place and reviewing the information that's going to be taking place at these meetings?
I assume they've always been to proper notice with all the situations. Minutes have been all approved by council. How they don't get transmitted into committees, I don't know. We should find out about that, but they should be all there. We've been very open with all our meetings, so I don't understand that. I haven't looked them up to see if they're there. I've looked them up to make sure we get them through council and approved by council. Everyone's been approved by council.
Yeah.
All our minutes have been approved by council.
If we can ensure that the notices of when these meetings of all the committees are taking place so that the public who may be interested in publicly attending these meetings through
Zoom,
that they can actually participate in open public meetings.
All our meetings are open to the public. We have the Zoom capabilities of everybody. And maybe that's the reason we haven't been getting different people involved, because we've had lots of people involved over the 2 years. All sorts of different people. So that's a good point, Mike. We don't know that. I didn't know that. So that's a good follow-up. So we'll make sure it gets straightened out.
Great. Thank you.
I do report every council meeting about it and when the next meeting is. So it's always in my mayor's report. So they get posted. So there are ways in which some things are done, but not everything is being done. So that's, we'll blame it on COVID-19, but we'll, and staffing situation. We'll get that all straightened out. Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Call a question on favor? Carry. Resolution 21-19, be resolved that the Council of Township McConnell hereby received the April 29, 2021 minutes of the Recreation Committee. Mover and seconder. Councillor Haskell. Seconded, Councilor Ancinelli. Any discussion? The mayor's up on the board in the Recreation Committee?
Those.
It's a standing committee. Ad hoc committees, I'm not sure, but standing committee should have them all posted. They have a whole
Facebook page, or the whole website page.
There was some shortcomings as well for the Recreation Committee. I believe I'd sent an email regarding that, so
okay.
List some of the committees that...
We'll just put a calendar. We'll list all the committees on a calendar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it used to have a case.
We used to have a monthly calendar.
But Mike is referring to the public notice section, correct?
On public the notice, then people can review and see which meetings are taking place.
Yeah.
And,
it's just,
Well, I know they're always listed in my mayor's report on the as the upcoming meetings, and we try and cover every meeting's off at the meeting. They're read out. But people are listening in the audio, so there's certainly some component of it. Okay. All right. So, all in favor? Carried. Okay. We now have a report on the Lakeshore boat ramp.
We're both here, so we'll both speak. But
there we go. All right. Who would like to go first? Who's on first?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's
going
to jump away first?
Yeah. So it came to our attention during the furnace oil spill that there were a number of residential water intake lines adjacent, immediately adjacent to the boat launch, which creates a rather large liability for the township because we don't have any records of who actually has those water lines in the water and to what residences they go to. And if there's a spill of any kind, oil, gasoline, whatever, out of the boat, we have no idea who to contact to make them aware of the situation, nor to advise of a boil water notice and things like that. So it's a huge liability to us just from that perspective alone. Additionally, the road at that point is pretty narrow. The expectation was that vehicles and trailers would park on the unopened road allowance, which is currently being used as a private driveway for two residences. So we'd be impeding the ability of people to get to and from their residence if we allowed that to occur. And then you have the environmental issues around the amount of gravel that would be required to bring that boat launch up to a slope that is navigable for most vehicles without tearing the heck out of it. And the permissions required from MNRF and DFO to be able to put the amount of gravel into the lake to make that boat launch navigable was another concern that we had. So what we would like to see happen is we'd like to see that boat launch closed and removed from service. And staff is in the process and has been in the process for the last 2 months looking for an alternative boat launch to replace the use of the Lakeshore boat launch. In the meantime, we would redirect people down to the lakeside boat launch where we have sufficient land there to create a parking area for vehicles and trailers, and they could stay overnight at that location. It's the only location that I can find in the township where we do have sufficient land to allow for overnight parking of trailers and vehicles that is publicly owned. So we would be looking to redirect visitors to that location, to that boat launch on Lakeside, as opposed to trying to do anything with the Lakeshore boat launch at this point in time. There's just too many hazards around that, too much liability for the township around that one. So our recommendation at this point in time is to remove that from service as we look for an alternative. Greg?
Yeah, that's correct. And nowadays, with the more development down Fox Farm, 155 and whatnot, there's a lot more traffic compared to 20 years ago when there was no problem stocking your boat in and launching. And there was no issue whatsoever. But now it's quite a traffic jam at times to get your boat into the water, and it's only going to get worse.
So, and we have to remember that many of the people who are back in their boats and are doing it one time a year.
Yes.
Which creates a few challenges for those who don't do it frequently.
With that slope in particular, right?
Yeah, that slope, just hitting that launch as you're trying to back up and not knowing what you're doing. Just hitting the launch is a challenge in and of itself.
Any other questions, staff? Councilor Kekkonen?
So when is the major traffic of individuals using the boat launch? If you look at it from a month type of perspective, is it May? Is it June? Is it July? Is it August? When is the greatest use of the boat launch?
I would probably put it at May. And you know, opening and closing. But then you have your summer traffic day, use people using the boat launch as well.
And secondly, is the Lakeshore boat launch the only boat launch that there are water lines in the proximity of the boat launch when you consider Stewart Park, Lakeside Drive? You know, if a liability concern is the water lines into the lake, does that exist with any of our other boat launches?
Not that I'm aware of, Mike. See, the Lakeshore boat launch has the water lines directly right in the zone of the boat launch itself. You know, the other boat launches in the lake are anywhere from 200 feet down away from either side of the boat launch. So, but this one, there's four water lines down through the boat launch. So, this is quite considerable.
And this year, it's been really difficult to ascertain exactly when the heaviest traffic is, because it's been non-stop traffic because of COVID.
Since April.
We've had people from outside the community coming into the community since, I would say, early March.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been... And to be able to... We don't have any checks and balances on our boat launches. We don't track the number of vehicles that use it. We don't have a launch fee. We don't have a takeout fee. You know, so these are, they're unmanned, and they're consequently, they're unmonitored, and that's an issue as well. We don't know when these are being used, and with the, as the summer months come in, you're going to see more and more visitors coming into an area like McKellar that want to get on the water. And many of them are not seasoned trailer drivers.
But you know, that does take place at the Stewart Park boat launch as well. Someone, when I was driving down Center Road the other day, there was someone backing right across Center Road with their boat from Stewart Park Drive right across to the boat launch backwards. So, you know, when you're looking at liability, now it's becoming a broader picture. And if you're going to increase, most likely, the traffic at Stewart Park, Lakeside, we've already heard from the residents down in that area. I think at some point we need to have some feedback from the residents, you know, in regards to this matter as well. We need some public input on what their any issues or concerns they may have that we, as a municipality or councillors, have not thought of.
Have absolutely no problem with public feedback, and if people want to contact me directly, I'm open to that anytime. And I'll take calls from anybody that wants to voice concerns about it. I just would like the residents to understand that what we're trying to do is limit the liability of the township for something that we have no control over at the Lakeshore.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, so we have Resolution 21-220, be resolved. The Council of Township of Thunder has hereby received the report, Admin 2021-02, CEO Clerk Lancher, and on the Lakeshore Road boat ramp. So a mover and a second, please. Councilor Haskin, Councilor Ansonelli. Any further discussion?
Call the question, all in favor? Carried. Yeah, I mean, I think we've always been concerned about this one, so we're always looking for another site. We just we thought we had one, and we don't. Okay, I do want to. Mr. Jackson, I've got to go back. We talked about those issues. We didn't check anything. So, is John here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes.
John, can you come on for a minute?
Yes.
Hi, John. We've already done some planning matters. I'm going to have the clerk bring you up to date on a variety of items from Fire Route 160 to Dinner Talk rezoning. So I'll let him follow up with you at this point, Tom.
Let me apologize. For some reason, I always thought the call was 7 o'clock. I don't know what it changed, and it's my fault for not being able to read the agenda. So I apologize greatly. I did hear a lot of Mr. Sneed's comments about wanting to get together, and certainly we have no issue with that. So as a planning board, I'd be happy to join in with plans. Apologize for missing any of the public meeting, but is 6:30 the normal time, Your Worship?
Yes.
Wanting to make sure.
A variance meeting could be at 6 o'clock. But then our rezoning or something. But then we do the actual council always starts at 6:30. The reason we may not have been on until 7, we might have had depositions that have carried on until 7.
No excuses. I will pay attention to the future.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to just have Lance bring you up to date on what has already transpired. And you've heard some of it. So go ahead.
John, what we've done is we've deferred the Dennertog rezoning and the application and bylaw 2021-27. Both of those have been deferred until the next council meeting. Consent application B23-2021, I believe that's the bridge at Manitou consideration?
Right.
Okay. So that's the one that they... Our resolution on that one is to meet with the planning board prior to June 28th to go through some of the issues and concerns that Mr. Sneed and the residents of Fire Route 160 have brought forward tonight to council and to review the information going forward to the planning board for application number B23-2021.
Okay, so... I didn't hear of a scheduled time, but it sounds like it's something they want to meet with as quickly as possible, and I'll do my best to accommodate that early timetable.
Okay.
Yeah, perhaps we can talk about it tomorrow morning prior to our other telephone conversation.
Okay, that's fine. Now, with respect to the Dennertog matter, I apologize, but I've been working with parties and hopefully we're coming to a point where there is an agreement in terms of how we move forward. So that's where my understanding is on that file.
Okay, the one Dennertog we didn't receive until quite late, so we didn't have time to get it on the council agenda and in the council package. So we've deferred that, and I'll be following up with you tomorrow on those.
Okay, so again, my sincere apologies, and I'll pay attention to the agenda timetables.
Okay, thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay, I'll talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving into 12,
yep.
Sorry. Correspondence for consideration. We have a resolution 21-221. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Governor Sierra received the correspondence for consideration. Mover and a seconder, please. Councilor Carmichael, seconder. Councilor Ancinelli, any discussion? We have several things. We have the OPP detachment. The town first down resolution, and then we have a fire safety thing coming forward. So, any discussion? Call a question, all in favor? Carried, thank you.
So the first one is resolution 21222. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Cutters hereby support the Town of Parry Sound resolution 2021-63 with respect to the creation of the Ontario Provincial Police Detachment Boards. Mover and a seconder. Councillor Kekkonen. Second. Councillor Carmichael. You want to speak to it, Mike?
I think the resolution itself is quite explanatory, and the 12.1.1 in the council package, correspondence from the Solicitor General, March 18th, 2021, just indicating the process that's taking place regarding the establishment of community policing advisory boards and the move from the CPAC committees that are in existence for the 51.1 section from the police service board, which we currently are. I think the one point about the Parry Sound resolution, you know, they basically support the May 12th proposal form that has been submitted by the representative from McDougall Township, which is a high-level overview of what the board is going to be comprised of, the seven West Parry Sound municipalities plus the Henby Inlet First Nation, how many municipalities are on the board, that no municipalities have been left out of the board or opted out of the board, basic population information, and how many provincial appointees and community appointees will be sitting on the board, which would be two of each of those. The one point with the Parry Sound resolution is stressing that the municipalities don't want to be downloaded any extra costs moving to the new board format from the previous CPAC committees, because the formation of a board is going to take resources, as you can see in that resolution.
Okay. Any further discussion? Don, you want to say anything?
No.
Okay. Call a question, all in favor? Sure. So, there's a long resolution, 21223. Whereas the Community Safety and Policing Act, CPSA 2019, calls for the end of the Community Police Advisory Committees, the CPACs, and the creation of the Ontario Provincial OPP Police Department Boards. And whereas the Ministry of the Solicitor General has developed an OPP Detachment Board framework that will allow affected municipalities and the First Nations the flexibility to create a board that reflects community and local needs. And whereas the Ministry of the Solicitor General has asked municipalities and First Nations within the attachment area to work together to determine the composition of their board and the manner in which they will submit their proposal to the ministry. And whereas members of the existing West Parry Sound District, CPAC, have indicated... indicated interest in establishing a board representative of CPAC municipalities and First Nations. Now, therefore, that the Council of Township McKellar hereby supports submission by the CPAC representative from the municipality of McDougall to the province of Ontario, the Ontario OPP Detachment Board proposal, substantially in the form attached, representing the seven West Parry Sound area municipalities and the Henby Inlet First Nations, with the following additional considerations / proposal. One, the following will be included as administrative resources infrastructure required to support the establishment of the detachment board. Administrative support for taking minutes of meetings, prepare, distribute, and publish agenda and meeting notices, prepare draft policy documents, administer expenses, prepare annual reports and cost estimates, and maintain board records.